In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Neighbors asked, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" The Pharisees asked, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" Sitting on the steps of a building was a blind man with a hat by his feet and a sign that read, "I am blind, please help." One of the passers-by, who was a creative publicist, saw only a few coins in his hat. After dropping few coins in the hat, and without asking for a blind man's permission, he took the sign, turned it over, and wrote another message on it. And then he replaced the sign back by the man's feet and left. That afternoon, the creative publicist returned to check on the blind man and noticed that his hat was full of bills and coins. The blind man recognized his footsteps and asked if it was he who had rewritten his sign. He wanted to know, what did he write on it? The man responded, "Nothing that was not true. I just phrased your message differently." He smiled and went on his way. The blind man never knew, but his revised sign read, "Today is spring, and I cannot see it." The story of the healing of the man born blind in our gospel gives us such a rich panoply of reactions from various characters. First, the disciples, the neighbors, and the Pharisees, all of whom we can easily identify with. Let us look at them one by one. First, let us look at the disciples. The disciples took the man's blindness for granted. The cause of the blindness was the only thing of interest to them. According to them, this man amounts to his diagnosis. As far as they are concerned, his blindness or diagnosis is a given and was only a matter for them to enter into a deep theological discussion on the effects of sin. So they callously ask, "Who sinned, whether he or his parents?" Aren't we also guilty of finger-pointing at people who suffer from various maladies and say that they deserve to be in that situation? How many times have we been judgmental of people? Jesus showed his disciples and us that in the final analysis, what hurting people thirst for are not neat and coherent and sometimes pompous explanation of the condition of what people suffer based on theological and sociological and psychological analysis. What people who are hurting need is our love, our understanding, our personal, caring, non-judgmental presence. That is what they are looking for. I believe this is the kind of attitude we are called to possess when we engage in helping ministry or mission in such as a place as our pantry or our work in El Salvador. Now let us see how the blind man's neighbors treated him once he got sight. They didn't recognize him once he receives his eyesight. How much this man's blindness must have wished, while he was still blind, to see his parents, to see his neighbors and his neighborhood. Imagine how he must have felt when suddenly he saw the light, the shades and the shadows, the colors, shapes and forms. All of a sudden he's seeing all these things, seeing for the first time people whom he knew only by their sounds and only by touching them, now all of a sudden were visible to his eyes. However, now that he had his eyesight, and now that he could see his neighbors, and despite his protest that he was who he was, still the neighbors did not recognize him. The people who knew him well as a blind man couldn't recognize him once he received his eyesight. How sad, how odd. Maybe it is not as odd as we think. How often have we defined those around us in terms of their shortcomings, their challenges, or perceived deficits? Don't we at times, in our lesser moments, think of people who are even closer to us in terms of what may be considered a negative? We may say so-and-so a person is unemployed, or that man is divorced, or so-and-so is a single mom, or that one is a high school dropout, he's a failure, she is an alcoholic, she has cancer, or he's depressed. In so many ways, negative ways, you know, we associate people. That becomes their definition. However, seeing people in negative terms is not just limited to others. We do that to ourselves also. Our past failures, setbacks, and disappointments shape how we see ourselves. I still occasionally wake up at night with a nightmare that I flunked a course when I was in college. The fact that I didn't do it too hard in that college course still haunts me to this day. Do I let that shape how I see myself? Maybe I do. Our penchant for defining others as well as ourselves in terms of problems rather than possibilities make us incapable of reacting positively when the situation changes to the better. The Citizens Advocacy, a wonderful Phoenixville organization, matches people with challenges in life with advocates who serve them as their friends. The challenges these people face are often debilitating enough to keep them isolated and invisible in the community. When Citizens Advocacy looks for an advocate to match them with, they take extreme care to highlight the possibilities the partners possess. They are hardly ever known in terms of their challenges or how they are defined by the society. The third reaction comes from the Pharisees, the so-called guardians of social mores and religious legitimacy. They asked, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" The fact that this man who was born blind can now see was not something to be rejoiced as far as they are concerned. Instead, for them what mattered was how he was healed, when he was healed, and who performed his healing. To admit that it was Jesus who healed the blind man was equivalent to admitting that Jesus was sent from God. And so, they were unable to acknowledge Jesus' authority and power to heal and to give sight to the blind. The Pharisees denied the fact that the blind man was ever healed. And when they couldn't do it, they rejected him and expelled him from their midst, from the community. How often we are unable to see a good thing happening in our society just because the person who brought about is not a legitimate in our eyes. Today, nations in the world act willfully blind with regard to global warming because accepting it means adopting some drastic measures that may be too painful and too costly. So they try to reject it outright and delegitimize its proponents. The man born blind needs not remain blind. Healing is possible. Healthcare is accessible. We don't have to accept the current system as a given. The move toward healthy change and new identity is often sabotaged because we are afraid of the new and the unfamiliar. For the neighbors, the man born blind was easier to deal with while he was still blind. Now that he is given his sight, they have to assume a new identity in their relationship to him. It was scary. Though they serve us poorly, we rather keep our rather warped identities because they are at least familiar to us. Jesus calls us to a new identity. He invites us to new possibilities. When he arrives on the scene and in our lives, things light up and we become aware of our new possibilities. All of a sudden, what used to be limiting and curtailing and controlling now turn to be free so that you can fly out in the vast horizon with unlimited possibilities. Limitations fall by the wayside with the one who can turn water into wine. Divisions between ethnic groups, classes and castes and genders fade away when Jesus enters the scene offering living water, as in the story of the Samaritan woman we heard last week. The one who opened the eyes of the man born blind 2,000 years ago today offers us not just life, but life in all its abundance. Yes, this new life he offers us is disruptive because we cannot remain anymore as we used to be. Our new life in Christ and our new freedom in Christ will be threatening and upsetting to all with whom we had relationships in our old identity. This is what Apostle Paul says in our reading about our new identity. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Now let us ask ourselves, how open are we this morning to receive this gift of restored vision? How willing are we to begin to see as God sees?